Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to Chop, the Guillotine League podcast. I'm Paul Charchian, co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch?
Great to be here because this is the rare Chop podcast with no Jonathan Taylor in it.
I was going to say, on the way over, that was going to be my intro line. Be like, a Jonathan Taylor-free episode, finally.
Yes. Oh, man, is that nice. It was like Christian McCaffrey last year and the year before, where that's all we ended up talking about practically. Now we get to go through the whole episode, and this is it. This is the only mention of Jonathan Taylor.
Didn't you, I think I saw you tweet that you bid $20 on him last week, and no
I
one
got
else.
Him. I overpaid by 19.
Yeah.
The next highest bid was one.
You would have rather have bid the one, but 20 looks like a bargain.
A steal right now, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Has Jeff Saturday fixed that offensive line just like that?
Well, I still thought the offensive line looked just fair in my estimation. But Taylor, more importantly, had looked so much more spry and healthy on that ankle, and that was huge.
That touchdown run looked like last year.
It looked vintage, didn't it? Oh, that was so great. That was so great. All right, lots to get to over the course of the show. First, I'm going to start by congratulating all the Super Chop finalists. You guys are in your championship week coming up right now. If you're one of those last two teams, congratulations on that.
Big week.
Is very exciting. They'll be redrafting next week. The winners will redraft into the playoffs. If you had the first pick in next week's redraft for the Super Chop playoff teams, who would you take?
You know, it's great. Well, that's Thanksgiving week, right?
So it is.
There's no buys, I believe, in week 12.
No, there's no buys.
Man, off the top of my head, I think I would still just have to go Kelsey.
That's the safe pick, isn't it? I think Kelsey and Eckler... I would have put Christian McCaffrey in that before this time last week, right? Or before the weekend when Elijah Mitchell got a bunch of work. We're going to talk about him later in the show.
Yeah. Fire up that Peacock again when we said to go grab him for a dollar a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there you go.
He had more carries than McCaffrey
I know.
Did.
Holy cow.
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. Another brutal bye week set up here. We've got four teams on bye. Jacksonville, Miami. Maybe brutal is not quite the right word. It's a bye week. Jacksonville, Miami, Seattle, Tampa. Jacksonville, Miami, Seattle, Tampa.
Some big names there.
Some big names, especially Miami, that's turned into one of the great offenses in the NFL. Then no bye week, as you mentioned, next week for Thanksgiving week. And then four teams on bye in week 14, two teams in week 13. So there's still got six teams left that you need to be aware of with your bidding in addition to the four that are already off here. So just, again, be bye conscious. That's all.
Yeah.
Waiver wire is the magic of the Guillotine League. It's my phrase every single week. We're here every Tuesday to give you advice to help you strategize your bidding. Brian and I effectively bid against each other in a blind format for the 10 most chopped players. That's coming up in a few minutes. We'll also give you some broad bidding strategies that really apply to everybody that might be available in your leagues. Obviously, we can't know specifically who's available for you. So let's start here. And we always wrap up, by the way, with just sort of the regular free agents that are in standard, boring fantasy leagues.
They've almost gotten obsolete at this point. at this point in the Guillotine League season, when you're like, the waiver wire is insane.
It is insane. I mean,
it always is, but it gets crazier every week.
It does. The players getting chopped are it's nuts. And man, you know, if you're still alive and you got some money, it's so much fun right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go here. Again, for the low-end guys who got cut that might be able to fill in a couple of bye week spots, you might start a couple of times the rest of the year. What are you bidding at this stage, Brian?
I mean, it's no more than $1 or $2, but at this point, that $1 or $2 could make or break your bid on a bigger name player. So I'm almost wanting to say, you know, if you're going to bid a dollar or two on a guy, you're going to find a very comparable player in first come, first serve free agency on Friday. And so, like, I'm almost not even bidding on these $1, $2 players. But again, no more than a dollar or two. If you really want to be sure you get them, throw a buck or two at them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a dollar or two. And what I really want to stress, and what you're getting at is, When we fast forward to weeks like 13 and 14, 14's our last week for blind bidding, and then we roster lock for the final few weeks. Every dollar counts. I mean, you're going to be looking, and most of your league is going to be at $8, $12, $29. And if you just got one or two extra dollars, it really matters. Don't overspend on these low-end free agents. And as Brian adroitly mentioned, you're going to be able to find help in free agency at $0 like you never have before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now the middle tier guys. These are guys that you feel like, well, maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, these guys can help me out, you know, more regularly. Maybe these are low-end starters the rest of the year or until they get replaced by somebody better. Guys that you might want to keep all season. What are you bidding on these type players at this stage?
Well, we've normally been saying, you know, they're like $10 to $20 range. But again, now I think you got to bump these guys down to more like the $5 to $10 range, mm-hmm. really, because yeah, there's replacement level players everywhere when FCFS opens on Friday. So unless if you got a really, you know, a need for one of these guys, no more than $10, but I really don't. You got to save every dollar for the big name players that will help you win in weeks 15, 16.
I'd go 17. A little higher than you are. If this is a middle tier player, I would start most weeks. I'm willing to go a little higher than you are, $15, $20. But these are guys we were talking about as $30, $40, and $50 guys a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then the high-end guys. These are the guys that are star players that are definite starters rest of the way that are probably not going to get replaced at any point over the course of the rest of the season. Now what are you bidding?
It depends on the player and your mm-hmm. positional need, of course, but it goes from anywhere from $100 to all in, which could be $500, $600. You just said week 14 is the last week to acquire free agents, so that's there's four more bidding periods. So don't be afraid. Be like, oh, I might have overspent by $50 or $100. That's okay, because you're not going to do anything with that fab come week 15, mm-hmm. and go get your guys right now. But it's really... It all depends on which player you're talking about, which position you're trying to fill, but it's anywhere from 100 to all of your fab.
You hit on something very, very important that I think is even more, I already used the word salient once already, I'm going to use it again, salient now than it is before. Your bidding should really be about how much of an improvement this player is over the guy you're starting now. Now, you could say that's true all year, but... You know, there are less and less variables now than there were then. And you know all about the players, you know, their bye weeks, their injuries, now we're running out of time for somebody to have their horrible injury, whatever. Your bidding should represent the differential in the player that's getting replaced with the player you're acquiring. And that where that gets to be really important right now, Brian, is, and I've run into this already, you know, I've got a team that's four deep at elite running backs. My worst running back on one of these teams is Damian Pierce. And here comes the waiver wire with Christian McCaffrey. And I'm like, you know, I would love to have McCaffrey on my team, but I can't start him. You know, my two bench players are running backs, and I've already got two great running backs, and the replacement from Damian Pierce to Christian McCaffrey is not that great.
You're only going to give yourself more of a headache.
Who to start every week. Right.
Among all your studs.
So, start thinking about that part of it as well.
Yeah, it's either like you're filling an immediate need this week or you're looking ahead saying, this is a guy I will play in week 15, 16, mm-hmm. 17. There's really not much gray area in between for me anymore.
Let's go through the 10 most chopped players. Prices here cratering right now because people don't have fab left. And you're going to hear us giving you smaller numbers for recommended prices than we have in the past. Let's begin with the 10th most chopped player, Brian. And that is Philadelphia running back Miles Sanders coming off the whole Eagles, obviously, terribly down game. Let's talk about Miles Sanders. Upcoming schedule is at Indy. That's favorable. And then Green Bay at home. That's favorable. Average winning bid on Miles Sanders last week was $98. Sorry, $93. How much are you bidding on Miles Sanders?
Yeah, unlike last year when I believe he did not score a touchdown.
Correct.
Sanders was pretty reliable week in and week out this year until Monday night when I think he had one carry in the first half. Boston Scott started the game. He got like the first carry inside the 10-yard line. You're like, what? He ended up with 12 carries, Sanders did. Yeah. He still led all Philly backs, but that was bizarre. So I just can't trust him moving forward. And as most people know, or you should know if you're playing a guillotine league, it's PPR.
And he's Sanders, not catching. They don't throw to him at all.
He hasn't caught a pass in three straight games.
Unbelievable.
So,
and for a guy who can catch, it's not like he's got bricks for hands. They're just not choosing to throw to him.
And we'll probably mention it a couple times if we didn't mention it already. Dallas Goedert looks like he's going to miss some time. So the Eagles are down a weapon. Yes, Miles Sanders doesn't play tight end like Goedert does, but to just maybe open up some more opportunities in general. So I'll still throw a bid out there, but nowhere near the 93. I'm at $55 on Miles Sanders.
You and I see Sanders very differently, I think. I see a player who on Monday night, sure, he didn't get a lot of work. They also lost. You know, I think one of the takeaways is probably that they made a mistake with Miles Sanders and not running him more. And I think they come back to running him a lot. And then also his usage at the stripe. And Jalen Hurts obviously steals goal line touchdowns. He did it on Monday night.
Yeah.
And he's going to get his. But the only other guy who gets touches in the running game inside the five is Miles Sanders. He had been scoring well. He had been very safely in that 70, 80, 90 yard range. And I think he goes back to that. I'm at $100 on Miles Sanders. Next, the ninth most chopped player, San Francisco tight end George Kittle. His upcoming schedule is what I view to be a favorable matchup with Arizona and then New Orleans. The average winning bid last week on George Kittle was $49. What are you putting up here?
Yeah, Arizona, a very favorable matchup. I believe they're the top matchup for tight ends this year in terms of fantasy scoring. Yeah, Kittle, stinker last week, just one catch for 21 yards, but that's what most people are going to remember. And he started off slow. He missed time due to injury. Then he, it took him a while to ramp up, but three games prior to last week, 39 yards and a touchdown, 98 yards and a touchdown, eight catches for 83 yards. So he was kind of on
fire. He came in hot, yes.
So I'm still going to consider him hot on an offense that very multifaceted, which is good and bad for Kittle. But, we just mentioned Goddard is now down. I mean, tight ends are falling by the wayside. Gotcha. All players are, really. So
we're down to one. If Goddard's out and Andrews is still hobbled,
it's
we're down to just Kelce and nobody at that point.
Come on, Kyle Pitts. Time for you to take that leap.
Man.
It's not his fault.
We've been saying that all year.
But I'm bullish on Kittle. I feel like it's for even though it's a tight end wasteland, I still feel this might be a little high. I'm at 75 on Kittle.
All right, I was at 50 on Kittle. He went for 49 last week, but I just think this landscape is so desperate.
I mean, if you just had Goddard, that's like the bid I'm placing right now on Kittle, 75. Say you got like Hayden Hurst coming off bye.
Well,
like,
Goddard's not missing that much time, is he?
I've heard they said extended.
Oh no,
sounds like several weeks.
I've heard he could go on IR.
We don't know officially yet. He could miss up to four games.
That's really too bad because he had been. And congratulations to you. You nailed Dallas Goedert in March, and you stuck with your advocacy for drafting him early all through the preseason, and that has panned out at least as well as you predicted.
My best ball portfolio took a big hit today.
I bet. The number eight most chopped player is New Orleans running back Alvin Kamara. Now, Brian, without looking, guess how many top 10 finishes for Alvin Kamara this season?
Definitely one. I know, definitely one.
He had one.
I remember he had a good game when Taysom Hill vultured like three touchdowns from him, but he still had like almost 200 total yards. So I'll say two.
Two. Yeah. He has two. Get this. Alvin Kamara has been running back 22 or worse in every game but three this year.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not only is he not helping your team, in many of these cases, he's getting outperformed by your bench, some other bench running back. He's actively hurting it. Now, on top of the past performances for Alvin Kamara, let's look ahead. Here come the Rams. I believe they are Pro Football Focus's number one run defense or number two run defense. And then the 49ers. So back-to-back, very hard games for Kamara. The average winning bid last week was $162. What are you putting on him this week?
Yeah, and Andy Dalton did not look good. So when the quarterback struggles, the whole offense goes with it. But it sounds like they're going to stick with Dalton there, which is good for Kamara because he his splits are way better with Dalton. So, but it's almost like a lose-lose if they stay with Dalton or if they go back to Jameis Winston, who just refuses to throw to Kamara for whatever reason. But the fact that he catches passes, I like him a little more than Sanders. I know I was at 55 on Sanders. You were higher. I'm going to put the same bid you put on Sanders on Kamara. I've got $100 on Alvin.
$40.
Wow. See,
I'm not touching.
I'm yin and yang on him.
Yep. I'm not touching Kamara at this point, and you know, I'm not touching. I mean, at 40, I'd be happy to have him.
Yeah.
He's a flex play only for me at this point. The seventh most chopped player is Jacksonville running back Travis Etienne. He's on bye this week. Factor that in.
Big time.
Then he's got Baltimore. That's going to suppress what you need to bid on Travis Etienne coming off a bad game, but was red hot in the three prior to that. $158 was last week's average winning bid on Travis Etienne. What are you putting on him this week?
Yeah, factoring the bye, and it's not a great matchup with Baltimore following the bye. I'll just keep it short and sweet. $50 because we might see him again next week just because he's on bye.
You might get cut.
I feel like this has happened every player we've mentioned on the show that going into their bye.
The buys are killers for sure. But here's where I think it's a little bit different now than our past CHOP podcast. Now people have got much more robust lineups that you're putting in now a player to replace Travis Etienne. That's probably pretty good because your roster is probably much deeper now than it was weeks ago. I'm actually going $150 on Etienne. I have this written in my notes here, assuming you are confident you can survive this week's bye. Another way of saying that is whoever you're going to start in place of Travis Etienne when he's on your bench this week, if you can win with that guy, if the drop-off isn't too severe, Travis Etienne, $150, because, man, I want that kind of output he was giving us prior to last week. The sixth most chopped player is Denver wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. He's got a mild ankle injury from last week, unfortunately, on the very first play.
Yeah.
Terrible timing.
I saw a lot of sports books did not void.
Play to play?
They did for like guys like Tua. I don't know. They seem to pick and choose when they're
going to be nice about it.
But they weren't on Jeudy. No.
So he may not miss any time at all. So if you can factor that in a little bit, Las Vegas is a very plus matchup coming up next. And then at Carolina, they're not the same secondary without Dante Jackson. Average winning bid on Jerry Jeudy last week was $20. What would you put on him this week?
Yeah, Jeudy kind of before last week was, even though the whole offense has been a disappointment, taken over as wide receiver one
over
Cortland Sutton in terms of targets, catches, yards, all the important things that it takes to be a good wide receiver. But the ankle injury, a little bit of concern, likely not going to be 100% if he plays, maybe somewhat limited. But like you said, a good matchup. But I don't know. You don't want to get – I think we swore off these Broncos offense like weeks ago, it feels like. Dulcich kind of like reignited the interest
The easiest passing game schedule left for any team is the Denver Broncos.
Is it?
Yep.
So you said he was at 20 last week. I'll stay with last week's average bid and I'll go $20. But again, he's not a guy who I would trust to fill a hole at wide receiver flex this week because you don't know if he's going to
play this week. Right.
You don't know if he's going to be limited.
Yep.
But he seems like for $20, he's an interesting guy to have at your disposal moving forward.
I put $5 on because I don't think you'll have to pay more than $5.
Probably not.
I like him more than $5, but I don't think you'll have to pay more than that given that he's hurt. Reminder that he had been super safe with more than 53 yards in his prior 5 games for Jerry Jeudy. The fifth most chopped player last week, Atlanta running back Cordarrelle Patterson. A brutal week in which they ran the ball copiously like they always do, just not with Cordarrelle. Yeah, very frustrating. It got me chopped in one of my leagues. The usage on Cordarrelle was the difference. I ended up chopped by 1.5, and that would have been that. You know, if Cordarrelle would have just done anything, then that would have solved it. Upcoming schedule is Chicago and at Washington. By the way, that's shout out to my Glass Cannon Network niche out there. That was the league I was in that got chopped. And you don't know what I'm talking about. A couple of listeners probably do, but we love those guys. Your upcoming schedule for Cordarrelle Patterson is a revenge game, Chicago,
oh,
and then at Washington. The average winning bid last week on Cordero was $63. What are you doing this week?
Yeah, big-time disappointment for Patterson. Finished with the fewest yards among the four Falcons running backs to get carries. Five carries for Caleb Huntley, four for Avery Williams, five for CP84, and then an Algier had eight. And Patterson only one target, caught one. I guess his one catch for 2 yards. Well, I don't know. Let me do this math. Would you rather have one catch for 2 yards or three for -17 like Algier had? It kind of feels like it's going to almost be the same, right? Three minus 1.3 to 1.2.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't believe I did that in my head. Very proud of myself. But I don't know. You can't trust him as a bell cow running back. And he's always been in and out of the lineup over the last couple of years. So I'm sorry. What did you say his bid
last
was?
Week was 63.
You're not going to have to go that high to get him for sure. He's a spike week player at running back, so I'll cut it in half and I'll go $31.
20.
Okay. I like that. I like that better, to be honest with you.
The fourth most chopped player, Cleveland wide receiver Amari Cooper. His upcoming schedule is pretty tough at Buffalo, and Buffalo's got to be they're angry.
Oh yeah. They're going to be foaming at the mouth.
You'd assume so. Yeah. And then Tampa Bay, the average winning bid on Amari Cooper last week was $70. What are you doing this week on Amari Cooper?
Well, considering he's on the road, in a tough game against a team that's chomping at the bit right now, I don't know if I'm going to bid much because listen to these splits for Amari Cooper. In home games this year, five games, averaging more than 10 targets, six catches, more than 90 yards per game.
Wow.
On the road in four games, 4.25 targets, 2.5 catches, 33 yards per game,
ouch,
zero touchdowns.
Wow, I didn't realize
like
it was that pronounced.
Like he had a good matchup on paper in Miami last week.
He did.
But he stunk it up, and Donovan Peoples-Jones
played
better.
They went to Peoples-Jones all the time.
I don't know. This seems more trend than mirage, this home-away thing. So the fact he's on the road in Buffalo, I'd like to have Cooper moving forward, but I'm going to have some trepidation starting him this week in any format, so I'm only going to be at $30 on Cooper this week because I think we might be talking about him next week.
I see Buffalo staking an early lead and them throwing a ton, even though, you know, Stefanski hates to throw, but even just by their standards, I think they're going to have to throw.
I heard the weather is supposed to be pretty gnarly, too.
Oh,
like,
really?
Ooh. Like, potential like feet of snow.
What? Oh, well, I hope that's like, the case. We all love snow games. They're the best.
They make the best for watching on TV,
absolutely,
not for really being there.
Well, sometimes for being there too.
Well, the Bills fans are drunk enough; they don't care.
It's all peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
I've got a $50 bid on Amari Cooper because he had been so productive. The home road split thing feels a little random to me. I mean, you know, dude's like a 6-year vet now. You know, he's not getting. You know, it's not like he travels and just suddenly can't catch. I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. $50, Amari Cooper. The third most chopped player, Tennessee running back Derrick Henry. His upcoming schedule is a very favorable matchup against Green Bay, and then Cincinnati will be much tougher. The average winning bid for him last week was $298. I want to talk about something we talked about last week now in terms of Derrick Henry. Last week we talked about this with Christian McCaffrey. Is this an all-in bid for Derrick Henry? Do you wipe out your bank account?
If I don't have a true elite running back right now, I'm close to going all-in on Derrick Henry in terms of, you know, 95% of my remaining fab. Not a good game last week. A little scary. Went into the medical tent, but he just said he had to go to the bathroom. I want to know, is there like
is
it just like a bucket? Like, what's going on in there? Do they dig a hole in the field and then cover it up once the game's over?
And does the
one knows what goes on in that tent. Who knows what's going on in that tent?
And does the athletic trainer have to do that? I mean, who's cleaning that up? I mean, come on.
But
I'm reminded of, nobody will get this, but I'm reminded of Cartman's mom in the World of Warcraft episode of South Park, where the kids could not leave their computers because they were grinding so hard on World of Warcraft. Anyway, back to Derrick Henry. So
yeah,
you're going
all
in.
The bye, well in the rear view. We had that in week six, not a concern. And right now, according to Fantasy Pros, the number one easiest schedule for running backs moving forward is the Tennessee Titans, who are in the driver's seat in that division. I don't, and they're going to still want to be playing for home field advantage. So it doesn't seem like they're going to limit Henry because they're out of it, and
right.
and they're not so far ahead of the conference that
right.
they can afford to really rest them. So
and they'll never have a non-Henry game plan.
No.
I mean, they go into every game trying to get him 20 to 25 carries.
The only way he doesn't is if he gets hurt, and any player can get hurt in any given game. I'm not concerned. He's not injury prone. We know he got hurt last year, but whatever. So I have 290 here,
mm-hmm.
but depending on how much fab you have left, if I had 600, I would people should know this. If I have 600 and I look at the remaining teams and you're the next highest, with 401, I'm going 402. Okay, I'm getting Derrick Henry.
All right.
At all costs.
I'm just going to remind people of the same all-in advice I gave last week. Number one is save 10 bucks. Do not literally go on. Don't put yourself at zero. The difference of every dollar, as we mentioned earlier in this podcast, the difference of having a couple of bucks left in weeks 13 and 14 can literally mean the difference between a superstar player and an average player. So don't go down to zero. And if you're going to go all in, you should meet all of these criteria. Number one, he should be a major upgrade over whoever Derrick Henry is replacing. Number two, the rest of your roster. The rest of it, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the flex players, the tight end, they should all be pretty much bulletproof. You're ready to make a run with these players the rest of the way. And then lastly, your bench has to have enough depth to absorb some minor injuries, bye weeks, things like that. So if you meet all those criteria, spend away, baby. The number two most chopped player, Philadelphia wide receiver A.J. Brown. Upcoming schedule is Indianapolis, which has turned into a tougher-than-expected secondary. Green Bay, a difficult secondary most of the time. The average winning bid last week, $185 on A.J. Brown, coming off a brutal game in which he was targeted, I think, only four times and caught one.
Yep.
The rec, what are you doing with A.J. Brown in this one?
Well, the 185 average bid last week seems cheap because he was on such a tear going into last week.
People just don't have money left.
Yeah, so, but it, like you said, not a great game on Monday night. He didn't play extremely well against Washington the first go-around, so the writing was sort of on the
and
wall there.
And he got
there.
Dinged up early in the game,
up,
too.
So I don't know if that affected
that
him.
That was a factor.
Yeah, he was limping around a little bit, so, but there, as of now, no reports on any kind of significant injury, so I'm willing to basically, you know, overlook the Monday night game, bit of an outlier. I'm still going to treat him as an elite top five wide receiver option because we're going to talk about a guy in a couple minutes that bumps all the wide receivers up the ranks a little bit. So we said 185 last week. I'll go 190. I don't normally go over the last week's average bid, but
sure.
And we mentioned Goddard gone, so that's going to open up some targets, especially in the red zone. So
We
don't know how long Goddard's, again, gone for, but at least it sounds like a week or two at minimum. So I like A.J. Brown, and I think the Eagles will turn this thing back around.
I had 135 on A.J. Brown. Very safe. He had been very productive. I think the bounce-back game is very likely coming here, and he's a special player. Then the most chopped player, and it's sad, and I hate to end on this note, but Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp with a high ankle sprain. He's going to have tightrope surgery on the ankle. He's on IR, so he will miss four games at a minimum. Could miss more than that. This the upcoming schedule does not matter. The average winning bid last week does not matter. If he comes back, he'll be back roughly week 14 or 15. Sorry, not can't be 14.
It's 15
or 16 in the fantasy playoffs. So I'm going to start with this about Cooper Kupp. It's his first opportunity to come off IR, and let's say he does and he plays. Would you automatically start Cooper Kupp off the injury? Even if he's he may enter questionable. He may have done limited work all week. You know, I think if he were off the injury report, I think he'd be an auto start, but what if he's not? What if he's questionable?
Yeah, I mean, so week 15, he comes back and plays. I only see that happening if the Rams have any kind of chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah,
it doesn't look too good.
I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. They
they're
might be
place.
Out of it. They're just like, shut him down.
They're 3-6 right now. They just lost two more offensive linemen,
oh,
one to like blood clots, and it's just a disaster. This is like the worst defending Super Bowl championship season I can remember in my lifetime. Well,
this is what happens.
And I'm a Giants, well, or was a Giants fan, and they
so you
were
all about that.
The following year, yeah.
The thing with the Rams, they actively traded many quality draft picks for players. Totally valid strategy, and they won a Super Bowl doing it. Now you pay the piper. You have no offensive line depth.
Yeah, they've got, right. so they've got no picks. So
you raise a fair point that, you know, they may not play Cooper Kupp in 16, 17, 18 because there's nothing to be gained.
So long story short, you know, week 15, there's no more free agent acquisition. So I would still bid on Cooper Kupp right now and only a couple bucks. Mm-hmm. And I'll just hold on to him, see what happens. But make sure, if it's looking like he's not going to be playing at all, then make sure you drop him in week 14 and just get a warm body. Go get Brandon Powell or some other Rams receiver.
It's totally random.
Why
do I have to have a Rams receiver?
Yeah, you don't,
can
probably
I pick
don't want
somebody
one.
Else?
You probably don't want, and you probably want one from any other team. So I'm just going to say just like $2 or $3 if you've got a spot to burn.
That's the key thing. He eats a spot. So you have to ask yourself, if I need to drop Cooper Kupp because I need to put a different player, I need to roster a player in that spot, how much is enough money where I don't mind that I just pissed it away on Cooper Kupp? Is it $10? So if I bid $10 on Cooper Kupp and I get him and I put him on my roster and then I have to cut that spot because I need somebody in that place, that doesn't hurt me so much. The $10 doesn't hurt so much.
But you're going to be missing that $10 coming
week
14.
You might later.
So I'm willing to roll the dice for, I'll say $3.
All right,
let me
ask you this about Cooper Kupp.
And I don't care if I have all of my fab. I'm saving that. Like, I'm still only bidding $3 on Cooper Kupp.
Let's say you got Cooper Kupp and you survived. And many, many, many people did. Do you drop him? Do you expose him? Hoping it's a bit of a sabotage drop, but not really since he's not playing. Do you hope that he garners a $50 bid from somebody who's thinking, I'm going to set myself up from the playoffs, and you just drop him outright?
I wouldn't this week.
Why?
Because I feel like if you wait a couple weeks, you get closer to his potential return, and I think the people will be willing to bid a little more, even though overall the fab budgets are going down.
All right, but now I got to burn a roster spot on him.
Yeah. I don't know.
Give me the yes or no, because it's a binary decision.
No,
I'm not dropping him. Cooper Kupp, he's on your roster right now. And by the way, the day to drop him is Tuesday.
If I'm in the bottom third of fab budget in my league, yes. If not, no, I'll just hold on to him. If I'm in the leader in the clubhouse in terms of fab, I'll hold on to him and see what happens over the next few weeks if there's optimistic news that he'll come back, and the Rams have an outside shot of making the playoffs. That's the only way he plays. I don't think that you're going to care about his contract incentives or anything like that. I mean, they have to be mathematically alive come week 15, which there's a chance of that. So I will hold if I've got a lot of fab. If I don't, I want to ding people as much as I can. I'd probably drop them.
All right, I'm on drop. I mean, we've talked about it many times. In the Guillotine League, my viewpoint is just 2 and 3 weeks out. That's it. And
you drop,
he's too far out.
But are you going to try to reacquire for $1 or $2?
No.
Like with Lamar Jackson,
maybe.
I sabotage dropped him,
and still... I put an $11 bid on Jackson because that's the price at which I'd be happy to get him back, and somebody bid $71. That one worked. If in this case, yeah, you could expose Cooper Kupp and put a $2 bid on him, and if you get him back, fine.
I like that play.
All right.
The more fab I have, the more I like that play.
Now let's go to the standard waiver wire guys that you may need to pick up that could potentially help you. Brian, I don't think there's any quarterbacks. I mean, at this stage, there's only 9 teams left in most leagues and some less. There are more good quarterbacks than there are teams left at this point. So you can go get a good quarterback on the waiver wire for a buck.
You know what I can't wait to discuss? You can't do it this week. Because they have the Falcons.
Week?
No, Justin Fields, who we said, go get him a couple weeks ago. Be aggressive. But when you look ahead, starting week 14, bye. Buffalo, Philadelphia. Or Philadelphia, Buffalo. I can't remember which order they come in.
That's tough. That is tough.
So come week 13, and then going into the last week of free agent acquisitions, too. That's going to be
Justin Fields.
He could be the sabotage drop of all sabotage drops.
Yeah, that'll be fun to talk about. Then let's go to the running back position. I've got a handful of players that are available in most guillotine leagues. Let's start with Elijah Mitchell. With that unexpected timeshare with Christian McCaffrey, and then Kyle Shanahan after the game has said, you know, we were trying to split the carries, which they did. That's not random. What do you think about Elijah Mitchell? And give me a dollar amount you would bid on him.
Yeah, hopefully you went and got him for a buck when we said to 2 or 3 weeks ago. But it looks like it is going to be a timeshare. I still think McCaffrey sees more carries. And it's not like San Francisco, they're not even winning their division as of right now. Seattle's still winning. So it's not like they might need McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, they
got to
put their foot on the accelerator the rest of the way.
I find it hard to believe it's going to be like a 50-50 split moving forward because McCaffrey is just better. Better than almost any running back in the league.
But it sounds like they're trying to preserve him a little bit.
Yeah, and you want to preserve him for the playoffs, too. But again, there's no guarantee that San Francisco makes the playoffs right now. All that said, I put $15 on Mitchell because if something were to happen to McCaffrey, he's like a $150 player all of a sudden.
He's an auto start. Yeah. And something could happen to Christian McCaffrey because it's gone that way the last 2 years.
Please don't. We've had enough injuries. This has been the most injury.
I think this is recency bias. Isaiah Pacheco with the shocking workload, I think 15 carries it's close to that. Isaiah Pacheco getting all, you know, the vast majority of the work. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think a season low, like 3 snaps. Yeah. I mean, he's just phased out of this offense. What do you, could be a one-game blip. We don't know yet. What are you putting on Isaiah Pacheco?
The most telling thing for me for Pacheco was he had an awful fumble early in the game.
And they went back to him.
And they went right back to him.
Yeah.
That means they're just, like, out on CEH. Mm-hmm. Like, they are done with him. McKinnon is their pass-catching back. He'll get some carries sprinkled in here or there. But, you know, just because the Chiefs are this electric offense, it doesn't mean that their starting running back is gold. They don't.
You're right. It's just like right. That person.
It's just a guy that's got to be on the field while Mahomes just throws the ball 50 times. But certainly intrigued by Pacheco. I like him more than Mitchell just because he looks like he will be the starter. McKinnon will get some work, but CEH looks all but cooked at this point. So I would say
totally
$25 on Pacheco.
Okay, I'd go 10. By the way, you pronounced it correctly whole way through. I botched his name. It's Pacheco. I have been wrong on that a lot over the course of this year. Gus Edwards dropped in a lot of leagues, during his bye week and then the convalescence and everything else. It appears he's going to come back and play this week. You throwing a few bucks on Gus Edwards?
Yeah, a few, but J.K. Dobbins likely to return in a week or two.
We don't really know.
But
his status is way sketchier.
Kenyon Drake has looked good while Gus and...
Not all good.
Decent. And the Baltimore backfield is a mess. But
true. I'm with you on that part.
I'd throw four bucks on Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I was on $5. Kadarius Toney. After he did very little last week, then explodes this week. Mecole Hardman hurt. Juju Smith-Schuster may miss some time. We don't know after taking that savage helmet-to-helmet hit last week. What are you putting down on Kadarius Toney?
Yeah, Toney looked great. I mean, he's looked great sparingly for the Giants back with the Giants when he was healthy. But, man, I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill, but his skill set is very comparable to Tyreek Hill. And the Chiefs got a steal there if Toney stays healthy. You notice, I know he was kind of tight.
Tight rope walking. Well, that was just because he was near the sideline.
He was, but I also think he was doing mock his fake hamstring injury that made the...
got him out of New York.
Yeah, I have a feeling that was baked in a little bit. Yeah. But long story short, we could see a huge spike in value for Toney, who in a week or two, if he puts up another game like he had last Sunday, we might be talking $100 range. So I would go out and get him for in the $25 range too. I know that goes against what I said about guys like this earlier in the show, but... the more you think about it, Toney could be the time to strike.
We've seen so many times, like Mecole Hardman has a game where you go, oh my God, that guy's the solution for them at wide receiver. And then the next week he gets one catch. I'm just, I can't get myself to say, Kadarius Toney's going to be the new Tyreek Hill, and he's going to be a $100 player in a week. I can't get myself there. So I'm showing more caution than you are. I think this is a $15 bid on Kadarius Toney.
15 to 20. Okay. Cut it down the middle, right? 20 right. bucks.
Christian Watson, do anything for you with the explosive three touchdowns? It was only like four catches, but three touchdowns.
That was pretty much out of nowhere. It's because it was such a bad matchup. I know he was a second round pick and all that, but I don't know.
Well, keep in mind, those Dallas cornerbacks aren't that great. They're gamblers who give up a ton of yards and touchdowns.
And we know Romeo Dubs is out for an extended period of time. Alan Lazard, meh.
Lazard's not bad at all.
He's not bad, but...
format, he's been really good, actually.
But Watson's got that blue chip pedigree. Mm-hmm. That's why they drafted him, and...
They need him,
and the Packers still believe...
Would you be surprised if he got hurt next week?
No.
I wouldn't. Right.
But if I had to pick between he and Toney, I would lean Toney just because of the offense is so much better. So yeah. I said 25 on Toney. I'll go 20 on Watson, but probably more like 15 really for me.
I'm $5 on him. Okay. Paris Campbell, do anything for you? Back. Matt Ryan comes back, and Paris Campbell goes right back to where he left off with Matt Ryan, which was a bunch of good games before Ryan got benched. You going to throw a couple of bucks here?
Yeah, I believe it was like four games that Campbell has played with Ryan this year that he's been a wide receiver one in all of those games.
Wow. Paris Campbell. Top 10, top 12 receiver.
Yeah, like, or at least top 24 mm-hmm. in every game that he's had Matt Ryan at quarterback. So I'm intrigued by that. The Colts are not an exciting offense when it comes to the pass game. So I won't go as high as I would on Toney or Watson. So I'll go 10 on Campbell, though, just because of the splits with Ryan have been so positive.
All right, let's go to the tight end position. Many people dropped Tyler Higbee after bye week and a couple of bad games where he did nothing. And then he explodes last week. John Wolford peppering him with targets. What do you think about Tyler Higbee, tight end wasteland? What are you doing?
I mean, he was all but dead to me before the Cooper Kupp news broke that he's going on IR. Yeah, now I'm intrigued again.
Right.
Because Higbee had a good matchup in the Cardinals. It didn't come through. But now that Kupp's gone,
And Kupp running out of the slot, all those middle-of-the-field catches that could go to Higbee.
And, you know, we're down Goddard now. We're not so sure about Andrews.
Now, so Rams offensive line, it's a disaster.
They need blockers. So Higbee's doing some blocking for sure. But, you know... If I have Travis Kelce, I don't care about Tyler Higbee. But if you're scrambling for a tight end,
and who's not?
Most people are. I would put $12 on Tyler Higbee. I wouldn't bid on him if Kupp weren't hurt. But now that Kupp's out, I'm intrigued because that's a lot of vacated targets when Cooper Kupp goes down.
I'm more like
that's like 18 targets per game.
I know.
I mean, we should really be talking about somewhere. All the like Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, these guys should be rostered at this point. Even Skowronek.
I don't know.
Skowronek.
I'm not. I just don't think those guys are any good.
No, not really. But someone's got to at least attempt to catch some passes for the Rams now.
$15. Hayden Hurst do anything for you off the bye? He got dropped in a lot of leagues. He'd been a solid, like, four-catch, 40-yard guy, sprinkling in a touchdown a month. Does Hayden Hurst earn a few dollars from you?
Yeah, he hadn't killed you in any week.
No, that was the
tight ends.
Yeah.
And he does have some upside, and we still don't know what's up with Jamar Chase.
I know he's still going to miss a bunch more time.
At least a game or two at minimum, so that's more opportunity for Hurst. So, I like Hayden Hurst. I would bid a little more on him than Higbee, but not much. I said 12 on Higbee. I'll go 15 on Hurst.
All right. Then throw a buck on Foster Moreau if you need it. You know, it's a team. Hunter Renfro's hurt.
Yeah.
And Waller's out.
They're both on IR, so they're
right.
Going to miss
three more
games.
Foster
minimum.
Moreau might be the sneaky, cheap, you know, dollar, $2 play out of all this.
Touchdown last week, 40 yards.
He did. All right, there's a longer than normal CHOP podcast. Thanks for getting to the end of it. Appreciate that. And if you made it to the end, tweet us. #Warcraft. Tweet us at BTXJ. That's Brian, at Paul Charchi, and at GLChop is the Twitter handle for the official Guillotine League's account. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.